Yesterday, Hiraji explained theoretically the two kinds of jnana, paccaka jnana or paccaka vipassana, knowledge through direct experience, and anumana jnana, knowledge through inference or deduction. So, by gaining paccaka jnana, knowledge through direct experience, from the stage of knowledge into mind and matter, nama rupa pricchedā jnana. So starting from nama rupa pricchedā jnana, stage by stage, this paccaka vipassana, knowledge through direct experience will become stronger and stronger. And when this paccaka vipassana becomes stronger and stronger, then based on what one knows about this nama rupa, one can also know other nama rupa by inference. And this knowledge through inference is called anumana jnana. But anumana jnana can only be gained if one has gained paccaka jnana. So without gaining paccaka jnana, knowledge through direct experience, one cannot gain anumana jnana, knowledge through inference or deduction. So anumana jnana is not the kind of knowledge that one speculates or imagines from knowledge through reading books or from other worldly education. But some of the people, when they encounter something, they will be thinking, speculating what it is, why is it, how is it, and they think that thinking, what, how, why are one's knowledge. But actually, such kind of knowledge cannot be called anumana jnana. So without knowing the true nature, one cannot gain anumana jnana. So only after gaining paccaka jnana, knowledge through direct experience, by knowing the true nature, then one will be gaining anumana jnana automatically. So with paccaka jnana, one comes to know things that are arising at the present moment. So paccaka jnana, with paccaka jnana, one knows things which are at the very present moment. But with anumana jnana, it takes objects on all kinds, past, future, present, and which are very recently, arised. Paccaka jnana knows present objects and internal objects, but anumana jnana knows both ajata and bahita, both internal and external. So this is the difference. The object of paccaka jnana are the objects which are arising at the very present moment. But the field of anumana jnana, the field of knowledge through inference, is very wide. But one should understand that anumana jnana is not like paccaka jnana, knowing the nama rupa phenomena with its characteristics, unique, individual, or common characteristics. So, anumana jnana does not know the unique individual characteristics, sabhava lakkhana and samanya lakkhana, common characteristics, as pasaka jnana can do. And anumana jnana is not the kind of knowledge one gains by noting the presently arising object with aim and effort. So, by noting on the presently arising object with aim and effort, one will be gaining pacaka jnana, knowledge through direct experience. And when pacaka jnana becomes matured, then anumana jnana automatically will be developed. So yogis who are practicing, yogis who are going to practice, and yogis who are presently practicing, they don't need to consider this anumana jnana. They don't need to do anything on purpose in order to gain anumana jnana. But as one gains pacaka jnana, knowledge through direct experience, by noting presently arising object with aim and effort, one will be gaining pacaka jnana, and by gaining pacaka jnana, this anumana jnana will automatically be gained. So, to give example, when noting rising and falling of the abdomen during sitting meditation, one experiences stiffness, tension, movement, which are the characteristics of Vayo Dhatu, the air element. And according to this rule, Bhutam Bhutato Pasati, Bhuta means the phenomena that arises due to relevant cause. So these Bhuta, these physical and mental phenomena which are arising due to relevant cause, they are assisting at the present moment. That's why they are called Buddha. So yogis are asked to note rising and falling of the abdomen as primary object. Rising is connected with the breathing in. If there is no breathing in, the abdomen will not rise. And falling is connected with breathing out. If there is no breathing out, falling will not take place. And also, breathing in and breathing out are connected with the intention to breathe in, breathe out. So, breathing and breathing out arises due to the intention to breathe in and breathe out. And when there is breathing in and out, rising, falling takes place. So they are all connecting. So it can be said that this breathing in, breathing out, rising, falling are produced by the mind. So they are mind-made corporeality, and they are arising, assisting at the present moment due to relevant cause. By noting rising, falling continuously at the present moment, one comes to know stiffness, tension, movement, which are the characteristics of Vayo Dhatu, air element. And when these stiffness, tension, movement arise, they do not stay the same. They pass away after arising, so they are dissolving, passing away, the old giving rise to new. So in this way, They arise and pass away. That's why they are not permanent. Stiffness, tension, movement are the unique characteristic of air element. And it is connected with the breathing in and breathing out. So by noting carefully at the moment of arising, one will come to know as they really are. That's why yogis are advised to note every arising object properly at the moment of their arising. So this is the sure way, certain way in order to gain knowledge. If there are two ways, one way is sure and certain, the other way is not sure and uncertain, then one must choose the way that is certain and sure. Among the six kinds of air element, rising and falling of the abdomen is included in guttasaya. It means that the abdominal air, which is outside of the intestine, it is called guttasaya air. So rising and falling is included in guttasaya. And it is very obvious. It could be seen through direct experience. And in the body, there are small, minute particles. And these minute particles made up into a big heap or pile of materiality, and they form up the aggregate of materiality, and they could be experienced through direct knowledge. And because they are tangible, these materiality are tangible, they are called puttaparayana, tangible base. They are tangible and they bear their own intrinsic nature. That's why they are also called puttapadhatu, tangible element. They are also included in dukkha satya, the truth of suffering, among the four noble truths. So if something could be categorized into khanda, aggregate, ayatana, base, dhatu, element, and satya, noble truth, then it can be taken as the true nature. So by noting rising and falling of the abdomen, when one comes to know the characteristics of stiffness, tension, movement, then one is said to be knowing vayo dhatu, the air element. So by knowing rising, falling, by knowing stiffness, tension, movement, one is said to be knowing the air element. One is said to be knowing the aggregate of materiality. And one is said to be knowing the base as well as the element and the noble truth. Knowing stiffness, tension, movement, one comes to know sabhava lakkhana, unique characteristic of vayo dhatu. Salakkhana means unique individual characteristic. And by knowing the stiffness, tension, movement, one gains samadhi, right view. So by knowing the true nature through practicing, one comes to know things as they are. By noting again and again on objects, one will gain khanika samadhi, momentary concentration. So when noting rising and falling, one will see that this rising falling arises and passes away, the old giving rise to new. It arises at one moment, dissolve at another. So this arising and passing away is the common characteristic samanya lekhana, and one comes to know the truth. So in order to know these characteristics, one needs to aim the mind towards the object. So this aiming is also supporting knowledge to be developed. Aiming alone is not enough. The noting mind should fall calm and collected on the object. There should be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. The noting mind should fall calm and collected on the object. So when the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, there will be samadhi, concentration, and when samadhi is present, one will know things as they are. So that's why in noting the object, one should aim the noting mind towards the object so that the noting mind will be direct or face to face with the object. And this aiming can support the development of knowledge. When there is sustained mindfulness on rising and falling of the abdomen, the sati mindfulness will be called satipatthana, mindfulness that is firmly established on the object. So when there is sustained mindfulness, in order to gain sustained mindfulness, one needs to put effort in the practice. One needs to assert atapa viriya, ardent effort. Without ardent effort, the noting mind will not get to the object of meditation. So in order to know rising, falling in the way they really are, one needs to have diligent effort, ardent effort, full of alertness, readiness, activeness to note the object. One must not be noting in cold manner. So one should be asserting ardent effort every single second so that the noting mind will stick onto the object. So when the noting mind sticks onto the object, the mind will not run elsewhere. Avekhepo samadhi, there will be non-distraction, collectedness of mind. The mind will not be agitated by raga or dosa. There will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. Without these mental strength of aiming, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, one will not know the truth. If there is lack of mindfulness, if there is lack of effort, mindfulness cannot arise. The noting mind will not get to the object, and thus one will not know the object in the way they are. So that's why one needs to note the object, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, at the moment of their arising, with aim and effort, so that sustained mindfulness will be developed. So there is no time to think, no time for thinking, imagining, or speculation. One needs to note the presently arising object with aim and effort. And when these factors of viriya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration are present, then samatiti, right view, will be developed. So Sarojee said, there is no time for thinking, imagining, or speculating. So during the sitting meditation, yogis are asked to note rising and falling of the abdomen as primary object. So the meditation teachers are guiding their yogis to note rising and falling of the abdomen concentrate on rising and falling and follow very closely. And one should also breathe normally. So the meditation teachers do not mean to suppress or torment the yogis by asking them to note rising, falling, to concentrate on it, follow it very closely. When the noting mind does not stick onto the object, the mind will be going here and there. The mind will not be calm and collected, and thus one will not know the object. So when virya, sati, and samadhi, when effort, mindfulness, and concentration are developed, then there will be samadhi khanda, the concentration group. And it can also be called samadhi sikha, concentration training. And one is said to be fulfilling samadhi sasana, one is said to be fulfilling this samadhi. So, by fulfilling this samadhi concentration group, the mind will be free from pollutants, mind will be free from defilements and pollutants. Having this samadhi group present, it does not give this defilements, it does not give any chance for defilements to arise. So having virya, sati, samadhi, effort, mindfulness, and concentration, these defilements have no chance to arise because this samadhi group is giving no way for these defilements to arise. So virya, sati, samadhi are taking place in the mind, and the mind will be free from priyutana kilesa, obsessive form of defilements, and thus the mind will be pure and clean. And developing this pure clean mind over and over again, cultivating, developing this pure clean mind, it is called bhavana, mental development practice, so that the mind will become from small to big, from tender to ripe, from less to many. So cultivating wholesome, pure, clean mind over and over again is called bhavana. So when noting rising and falling of the abdomen with aim and effort, the noting mind will fall onto the object rising, and one will know rising. When the noting mind falls on falling, one comes to know falling. And thus there will be kanika samadhi, momentary concentration. The noting mind falling, calm and collected on the object, and one comes to know the true nature involved in rising, falling. And thus there will be samadhiti, right view. So this aiming of the mind and the knowledge is included in Panya Khanda, group of wisdom. And these kilesa defilements, even the latent form of defilements, have no chance to arise. So one will be developing vipassana jnana stage by stage. One's knowledge will become stronger and stronger, and finally one can realize nibbana by gaining magga phala jnana, path and fruition knowledge, and one will attain genuine peace. When the two training, samadhi training, concentration training, and panya training, wisdom training are developed, then one is also said to be automatically fulfilling sila sikha, sila training. So when these samadhi sikha and panya sikha, concentration training and wisdom training, are present, although there is nothing to be refrained from. There will be sila. As it is said, avidekamo sila, not transgressing. One is said to be fulfilling sila by not transgressing. So such sila, it is not like virati sila, because there is nothing to be refrained from at the moment when these two sikha, samadhi sikha and panya sikha, are present. But there is volition, jetana, to refrain from things that should be refrained from, and this jetana is also called sila, morality. So when samadhi and panya, concentration group and wisdom group, are developed, this sila group is also involved. The sila group consists of sama vaja, right speech, sama gamanda, right action, and sama ajiva, right livelihood. So this sila morality group will automatically be developed by developing samadhi sikha, concentration training, and panya sikha, wisdom training. So by sila sikha, by morality training, one can overcome gross form of defilements. By samadhi training, concentration training, one can overcome medium form of defilements. And with panya training, wisdom training, one can overcome refined form of defilements. So by fulfilling the three trainings, sila, samadhi and panya, gross, medium and refined form of defilements have no chance to arise. So one will be blameless, pure, clean, gentle and lovable. So being free from gross, medium and refined form of defilements, one will be free from burning and suffering, and one will be very peaceful. So with the sila group, the three sila group, the three samadhi group and the two panya group makes up eight noble path which can lead to attain nibbana. So these eight noble path, these eight factors of noble path can lead to gain nibbana, and one can become an Ariya noble person. So that's why these eight factors are called Pubbabhaga, preliminary path. By noting the object with effort, with sustained mindfulness, when the noting mind falls calm and collected on the object, this effort does not give way for laziness to arise. If there is lack of effort, the mind will be slack, lazy, and sluggish. So if by asserting effort, this laziness has no chance to arise. So in this way, effort is not giving way to defilements, and thus the path of wholesomeness will be opened. Having sati present, having mindfulness present, this mindfulness guards and protects the mind away from defilements. So this sati will protect the mind from these defilements. So there will be araka, there will be protection, avarana, there will be blockage away from these defilements. When there is protection and blockage away from these defilements, there will be guti, Goti means safety or security, so that the mind will not be agitated, and thus there will be vimutti, liberation. The mind will be free from agitation of raga and dosa. Being free from this agitation, the mind will be calm and peaceful, and thus there will be santi, momentary peace. So, having araka, protection, avarana, blockage, goti, security, vimutti, liberation, one gains santi, peace. And by accumulating this momentary peace, it will be the way to gain the genuine peace. So, when the mind is pure and clean, it will be blameless and it will be wholesome. So the mind will be wholesome when it is pure, clean and blameless. So when Xiaoji says the mind will be pure and clean, it is not what he is saying from his imagination, but it is what Buddha had really guaranteed in Satipatthana Sutta. So it is said that ekayano ayam bhikkhave maggo sattana visuddhiya jadidam tattaro satipatthana. It means that Satipatthana practice is one and only sure way in order to purify the mind. So in order to purify the mind, one needs to note every bodily action, kaya nupassana. One needs to contemplate on every sensations and feeling, vedana nupassana. And one should be noting, observing every mind, every consciousness, mentality that arises. It is citta nupassana. And whenever one sees, hears, tastes, or touch, one should be observing, which is Dhamma Nupassana. So whatever object that arises, one should be noting. One should concentrate one's mind onto the object. So the mind will be free from these impurity of raga and dosa. So one will be free from mala, impurity or dirt of these defilements. There will not be extreme form of greed, wanting other people's belongings unlawfully. And there will not be extreme form of dosa, wanting to torture or ruin others. Having knowledge that good things brings good results, bad things bring bad results, one will also be developing right knowledge. And one also overcomes the wrong view of, one will also overcome wrong view. So in this way, one overcomes this extreme form of lobha, dosa and moha. One will be free from burning. One will be free from defilements. So the mind will be purified. So Buddha guaranteed that one will gain benefits such as purification of the mind by practicing, observing on whatever object that arises. So noting continuously with effort, the mind will be calm and collected. So this Satipatthana is one and only sure way to gain purification of the mind. One should follow this one and only sure way by putting into practice, by noting continuously with effort. Then there will be sustained mindfulness. Rather than developing mindfulness, if the yogis are thinking this and that, imagining this and that, then they will be losing the first kind of benefit in Satipatthana practice. So, if one does not know the object with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness, then the mind will not be calm and collected, and the yogi will not gain benefit. By noting continuously with aim and effort, one will be one's mind will be pure and clean. So this is the benefit. If one can note for 5 minutes continuously, then there will be 300 moments of purity in the mind. If one can note 1 hour, there will be 3,600 moments of purity. The mind will be very pure and clean. So this is the benefit of the practice. Understanding the benefit of Satipatthana practice, when one really values and cherishes the practice, one will be able to practice respectfully, meticulously. One should be noting very carefully, respectfully, whatever he, she does, sitting, standing, bending, stretching, so that one will not be losing the benefits of practice. The noting should be continuous without any gaps in between. Saraji gives an example of wooden floor. Wooden floor is made up of wooden planks which are very continuous. So if there is no gap between the two wooden planks, dirt cannot enter. So in the same way, when mindfulness is very continuous, without any gaps, defilements cannot enter the mind. So there has to be sakaccha kriyata. One should be noting with respect. One should be noting, observing respectfully. Sataccha kriyata. One should be practicing continuously without any gaps. So if one can practice in that way with respect and continuity, one can progress even within 1 week. If the yogi does not practice respectfully, meticulously, he, she may be spending 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 1 month without making progress. So Saraji would like to urge you to practice continuously with respect, and one should practice respectfully, cherishingly in the practice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.